Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with James and Lisa, where we help you tap into your highest selves in everyday life.
Hi, welcome to Practical Consciousness Podcast with Lisa and James. I'm Lisa.
I'm James.
And we have a guest today. Woo-hoo! We have Lori Carlson. Yay! Lori Carlson is joining us from Finding Spring Coaching. Lori is a life coach for empaths and highly sensitive women who are tired of living in overwhelm and exhaustion. They're ready to have a vivacious life from their strengths. Lori brings her over 30 years of experience as a psychiatric nurse, a social worker, and a corporate training project manager to her work as a coach. That's just so impressive. When I read that, I was like, wow, what a background. So yeah, Lori herself is an emotional and intuitive empath and highly sensitive person herself. So she has a keen awareness of what sensitive life is like. Lori is also a mom of four highly sensitive grown, almost grown kids. Wow. That's an adventure for her. She has not, when she's not working, she likes to try recipes that have lemon as the main ingredient. One of my favorites. She reads historical fiction and self-help books and is learning all that she can about her Danish ancestors' tradition of, is it
Hygge?
Coziness. Sounds nice. Yeah. So welcome, Lori.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Lisa and James.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you here.
I want to be vivacious and cozy at the same time. Is that possible?
Yes. I encourage it.
All right. So, seems like oxymoron, but I digress.
No.
Keep going.
No, I don't think so at all. I think I am vivacious and cozy, so
it can be done then.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So, Lori, help our listeners understand, what is an empath? What is a highly sensitive person? Are they the same? Are they different? Let's just start there, because some people will be like, what are you talking about?
Absolutely. Great place to start. So they are two different things. Highly sensitives, and from my current understanding, so I always say that because we're always learning about these two traits, is that they operate on a spectrum. And high sensitivity was discovered by Dr. Elaine Aron, in the 90s. And highly sensitive people have brains and nervous systems that simply receive more information from the external environment and the internal environment, right? So the external environment is through our five senses. And then the internal environment is like hunger, pain, thoughts and feelings, dreams.
Emotions, part of that?
Yeah, thoughts and feelings.
Okay, gotcha. Emotions.
So we experience just a lot more volume of information into the brain. And they have done functional MRI studies and proven that this is true. And that the filters that we have in the brain, the reticular activating system, they seem to be set at the maximum aperture for in highly sensitive people.
Right, right. Interesting.
So then empaths are even more sensitive. So about 15 to 20% of humans are highly sensitive.
Okay, 15 to 20%.
So it's not abnormal. It's not a diagnosis. There's nothing wrong, right? When you think of statistics, like I go back to my college stats class, anything that's 15 to 20% is a normal variation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But so I think that's really important when we think of ourselves as highly sensitives, that there's nothing wrong with us. And it shows up throughout the animal kingdom. There are highly sensitive dogs and cats, highly sensitive monkeys, and they've even found highly sensitive ants. And it keeps showing up generation after generation in all these species. So I always say to people, whether you believe in God or evolution or a little bit of both, whatever your perspective,
yeah,
it keeps showing up for a reason.
Interesting. It's great they've done a lot of studies so that like people that listen to our podcast, a lot of times they're the, you know, the type that like to know, well, show me the data.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's nice.
Well, prove it.
Prove it. Yeah, prove it.
Well, me too. And that's why I know this, because it felt so validating to me to read these studies, because I was like, okay, this is not just some personality trait that someone made up,
right,
and decided was a true thing. To see that this is based in neuroscience, right, and that there are repeatable studies out there showing this, just felt so, I'm going to repeat myself, but validating again, that like my experience from childhood on through my adulthood, this is not something we're choosing. This is not like when we're getting overwhelmed or we're feeling the subtleties of different emotions. It's not something that we're making up. And so often we're told, well, how could you possibly feel that way? Or how could that possibly be your experience by the non-sensitives around us?
Yeah, people don't understand. They have no frame of reference.
They don't.
It's almost like introverts and extroverts.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of people used to think that an introvert or was a choice they were making, or a condition. It's how their brain functions, right? And
exactly.
I think of it in that terms, the way you described it. It's like I'm an extrovert and I don't understand introverts. And for an introvert to be around me as an extrovert, it's very challenging for them. It's more challenging for them than it is for me to be around them, right? I imagine it's the same for a highly sensitive as well. Similar. Is it the same or similar there?
It can be. And what's interesting that you bring that up about introverts and extroverts is a lot of people get introversion and highly sensitive mixed up. And they're not the same. Because highly sensitives can hang back, let's say in a new social situation, and observe how things are going for a little bit. And that can be perceived as shyness when it's not.
I see.
It's a highly sensitive person just getting the lay of the land before they dive in.
Got it.
And so 70% of highly sensitives are introverted as well.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
About 30% are extroverted.
Interesting.
And I happen to be an extroverted, highly sensitive, which actually I believe made it harder for me to find out that I was highly sensitive. I didn't find out till I was 48 years old that I was highly sensitive.
I was going to ask you that, how, when you found out and how you found out, because that's valuable for listeners too, to know, well, I'm already in my 50s, so it's too late for me to make any changes in the way I live life.
No,
I'm not changing now.
Well, or just too hard. It's too hard. But I would imagine that, like you were saying, use the word validating, or just, I would imagine it feels very opening and freeing to have that revelation of, okay.
Big relief.
Yeah.
I imagine it's a big relief to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was really actually stuck in my business as an entrepreneur and feeling like I have these obstacles, and I'm like, I am a smart person. I am a capable and determined person. And like, why can't I've been able to figure everything else out in my life. Why can't I figure this out? Mm-hmm. And I knew I had all of the book knowledge that I needed.
Yeah.
But why couldn't, and also being an extrovert, like, why can't I make this go?
So how did you discover it? Sorry, I cut you off. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I discovered it because I was so blocked and so just flummoxed by the whole thing. I decided to do a month long coaching intensive where I coached with this woman every single day.
Wow.
And yeah, because I was like, I'm determined, you see. This is like, so I was like,
you probably have Taurus in your chart. I like astrology. That's like, it's like stubborn and determined.
I don't know. I'm stubborn, but in a good way, right?
Yeah. Get things done.
Committed.
Get things
done. Well, but I'm also committed to helping empaths and highly sensitive people. I didn't know that quite yet, but I'm determined. I was determined to have a successful coaching business because I knew I am called to this work. So I was like, okay, I don't know what's in my way, but I need to figure this out.
Yeah.
So I did this daily coaching, and through that, I mean, she didn't tell me I was highly sensitive, but it was revealed to me. Mm. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the thing.
Wow.
This is the thing. And it just opened everything up that I need to live my life differently, that I hadn't been supporting myself as a sensitive or as an empath, which, by the way, I haven't described yet. I haven't answered.
Right, I know. First question. I know.
Sorry, we're so fascinated by the highly sensitive.
Lots it's of like, questions going on.
We're both ahead. Like, ooh, what?
Yeah.
Well, let's get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So empaths are even more sensitive, and empaths make up about 2 to 3% of the population. At least that's when I read, that's the current estimate.
Okay. Wow.
There isn't a lot of data behind that. So
okay.
This is empath is a lot more anecdotal.
I see.
So the difference between highly sensitives and empaths is a highly sensitive is having this experience for themselves. An empath is really like, I'm an emotional empath. And what that means is I'm absorbing other people's emotions.
Yeah, I am too. And I know how that feels. I can't imagine being both highly sensitive and an empath, because now it's like your stuff.
Especially highly sensitive and an emotional empath.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
hard.
Well, I didn't know it was hard. I've been this way my whole life, right?
Yeah.
So here I am having all of my feelings, and then I didn't know that other people didn't absorb other people's feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just felt normal to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Until I start reading about it. I was like, what do you mean you don't absorb other people's feelings? Right?
Yeah.
So there's emotional empaths, then there's intuitive empaths, and under intuitive empaths, there's different kinds. So there's people who are, say, mediums who receive messages from the other side, people who receive, I'm not that kind of empath, people who receive information about people in real time, which is kind of what I get. And it's called a telepathic empath, but that sounds, I don't like that word. I need to come up with a different word.
Coin your own phrase.
I don't read people's minds. That's not what it is. It's when I'm with someone and I have a deep connection with them, a coaching client or a close friend.
Yeah.
Sometimes I will receive an intuitive.
Yeah.
I call it a hit.
James and I are pretty much the same way. We both are very open to the universe, and we get stuff and we're like, where did that come from? It came out of my mouth and I don't even know where it came from, but it helped my client.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes I will get very direct things. I've even called it the Jesus phone before, where I was like, you know, I experienced one time like this light flashing and I was like, hello. It felt like the universe or God calling was calling. Hello. And then I was receiving a message for a client of mine, tell so-and-so this message right now.
I love that.
Okay. And then I texted this client and she says, well, how did you know I needed to hear that right now? And I'm like, well, God. And then, you know, I don't know how all of this, right? I'm just trusting.
Yeah, that's
so so that's intuitive empathy, and they're empaths, and there are other kinds of intuitive empaths in that, under that umbrella, like with plants, you know, people who are really good with plants, that's a kind of intuitive empath, or with pets.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Animals or, in general.
Yeah. Or people who are really connected to the earth, mm-hmm. who have a sense that the earth or Mother Nature is out of balance.
Like shamans are good with, or that's shamans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there are different kinds of empaths, and just because someone is one kind doesn't mean you're all kinds.
Right. So how do you know? How do you know if you're an empath? And is it possible that you are, or even highly sensitive person? I guess you've got two different things here. We want to make sure that we keep them separate, but how does somebody know? And, or is it even possible that they are and they don't know?
Of course it's possible. Well, I was both for 48 years and didn't know. I mean, I didn't apply those labels. So how to know if you're a highly sensitive person, you can go to my website, lauriecarlson.com. I have a quiz for HSPs. It's right there on the homepage.
All right. And, well, it's on the homepage. Uh-huh. We'll put a link to your website in the, when we post this podcast.
And it's just a self-test, right? Like, I'm not going to certify that someone is highly sensitive. Like, they get to decide.
Sure.
If they are or not, through answering the questions. And then on the empath side, I don't really have that up on my website yet. I suppose I could put that, you know, some questions to ask yourself about, are you this kind or that kind? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And again, it's really just doing some self-assessing and deciding, do you experience those things? And deciding that.
And then once they know, what do you recommend?
So I recommend... well, I have some good resources for folks. Like if they take the quiz on my site, they get
perfect.
Some emails with tips on on what to do. But really, it's about, first of all, I think this is a useful label. I know we resist labels a lot, but I think this is a useful one, and some self-acceptance around, oh, this is what's been going on with me, and this is why I've experienced this.
Yeah.
And then really just some compassion.
Yeah. It seems like there can be more acceptance and, like you say, compassion and just permission.
Yes.
Instead of judging yourself for you know, being so sensitive, or, you know, reacting in certain ways. And
Lori, I'm curious, in your case, if you're highly sensitive and you don't know it, and you think something's wrong with you or whatever, how does it show up in your life in a negative way?
Yeah. So in a negative way, like I was a big rule follower. Oh. So generally people who are big rule followers are highly sensitive. And the reason I say that is they are rule followers because they're trying to feel safe.
Yeah.
Well, if I just follow all these rules, mm-hmm. and if I do it like this, I'll be okay. Yeah. Because we get so much coming at us all the time, having these external or societal rules or cultural rules, or if I do it this way at work or at school, I was a really good student, right? If I really overperform, then that's the way of feeling in control.
Yeah.
Because my brain feels out of control.
Interesting.
So that's one way. Another thing is feeling like you can't handle it. Like if you talk to yourself all the time, like, I can't handle it. This is too much for me. Even if you don't ever say that out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like overwhelm, kind of, like overwhelm, you mean? Just sort of feeling overwhelmed in general of situations and life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. How I'm about kind of positive? Skating. Let's go with positive. What are some, like, you know, what are some of the things that you, you know, that you see it as a gift in your,
oh yeah, in your definitely. Life? So, definitely being able to see things about people that they don't see about themselves, and, you know, and using that to help people.
Love that.
I have had people sit down next to me and tell me their whole life story that I don't even know.
Yeah, that happens to me too.
Right. Of course it does.
They tell me how much money they make and if they're having marital problems, like everything. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to know this.
So that can go either way, right? Because that can be really, like, cool, and it can be kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of detail.
Well,
and
because it feels, for me, sometimes it feels like a little bit of pressure. Maybe because I'm a coach, you know, like, do I need to start coaching this person? They're not a client, but, you know, seems like they need help.
And the answer is no.
Okay.
You don't need to coach a person. Yeah, and I think that's a pitfall a lot of us highly sensitives and empaths fall into. And I say this a lot, just because you can see what's going on with someone else and or feel their feelings doesn't mean you have to do anything about it.
Yeah. That's a permission slip that any empath or highly sensitive person needs to know they have. Always.
Big time.
Yeah. I imagine that's probably like one of the big revelations for these people to be to a freeing thing to be like, oh, like, relax. I can relax. The weight of the world is off my shoulders.
Right.
Exactly.
Lori, I'm curious. Are you familiar with human design?
Just a little bit. I haven't read about it.
I'm really curious. I'm going to have to look it up, but I'm wondering if your emotion center is open, undefined. And that's why you experience a lot of the empathic, the emotional empathic pieces is because you're conditioned by everybody else. And so what I hear a lot of emotional empaths talk about is how they can't tell it's not them.
Yeah. That it's like, used to happen to me a lot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. That was freeing for me. When I finally realized that everything I was feeling was not mine. Oh my gosh. So freeing. So now I pay attention. Now, you know, I teach workshops on energy and help people understand, you know, the energy of the world and themselves and other people. And that just really helped me a lot to be able to sense, oh, that's not mine. You know, I'm feeling it, but it's not mine.
I teach that too. And I have a little tip about that that I'd be happy to share.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. Cause we're getting, we love to have tips for our listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah. So an energy tip that I have, someone asked me to describe how did I distinguish other people's emotions from mine. And the best way I can think of it is, you know how when you go into someone else's house and it just smells different?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because they use different soaps and whatever. To me, other people's emotions are like that. They have a different quality to them.
Yeah, they do.
They're not like home.
Yeah.
And so when I'm checking to see, like, all of a sudden I feel sad and I don't know why, I will check in with the emotion and I'd be like, like, does this smell like someone else's laundry or my laundry? Like,
yeah, you know, that's a great way to, yeah.
And And am I in someone else's house? And then if it's not mine, I just gently like say, you know, like return to sender. I imagine myself stamping it with like the post office stamp, return to sender.
I love that.
And let it go.
Yeah. It's amazing what we can do with our imaginations. I like these visuals that you're giving, like someone else's laundry or somebody else's house. For me, it's always the dryer sheets or laundry detergent, like whenever I'm around somebody, I can, oh, that's Tide and that's, you know, whatever. I can just smell everybody's. Yeah. Anyway, so the visual's nice. And also with the stamping and return to sender, it's not mine.
Yeah. And I just do it in my mind and then I feel it leave. Right.
Yeah.
I don't have to process it or hold on to it. Cause this idea that we can process other people's emotions is, it's not true.
Yeah.
And a lot of empaths walk around carrying other people's emotions and they try to process other people's emotions and then wonder why they can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, because it's impossible.
And probably wonder why they're so exhausted all the time.
Yes. That's another sign.
Yeah.
That, well, I mean, being exhausted all the time is a sign that you're an empath or a highly sensitive person.
Yeah.
And you're like, why am I so tired? It might not be something medical. It might be something energetic.
Energetic. Like this. Yeah. This is all such great information. we're reaching the end of our time and I still have lots of things that I'd like to ask you about, but I love that you have information on your website. So if somebody takes the quiz, then they're going to have access to the beautiful tips and things that you offer on a weekly basis, I would guess. Maybe you send out.
Yes, about that.
Perfect. About that. Love that. And so also you have a workshop coming up.
I do.
What's that all about? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So these are such uncertain times right now. I know we're all going through it. And so on Saturday, November 21st, I'm having a workshop to help people figure out how to get grounded, you know, when the world's not making much sense.
Yeah.
So if people would like to sign up for that, it's will be available on lauriecarlson.com. They can visit and learn more about the workshop and sign up there.
Great. And I see it's at 10 o'clock Pacific time.
Yes.
On the 21st. Perfect. Well, we'll put the information in when we post the recording. We'll put that in so that everyone will have access to it. But thank you so much for sharing all this beautiful information with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Can I ask one quick question at the end here? Sorry.
James is like, one more thing.
I wanted to ask it earlier and it didn't fit in. Highly sensitive people, how is their creativity compared to a non-highly sensitive person? Is it the same? Is it different?
Highly sensitive people are extremely creative.
Like
off
more,
the charts.
Yeah, okay. I figured that would probably be the case.
Yeah, so there's that makes sense.
There's a superpower then.
Mm-hmm.
If they work with you, if someone works with you, they'll harness that superpower.
Right. So what I do, James, is I help people remove these obstacles that they have, like I had, right? And unleash their superpowers. Because like creativity, like being able to help others, you know, like making connections that nobody else sees, like supporting justice. We're such advocates for justice and a lot of other things.
Interesting.
And so, but when we're blocked and when we're exhausted, we can't live out our superpowers. We can't live in our strengths. Yeah. We're so creative, right? Yeah. We're so amazing. We see the emotional things of others that they're struggling with and we want to help and we try and then we take on too much and we burn out, right? So I help people figure out how to get out of that cycle so that they can actually help. They can actually like be the artist and the creative that they want to be without getting bogged down.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get that in.
No, that's a really good question. I wouldn't have thought of that. And it also helped because we didn't ask a lot about the type of some of your coaching sessions and what they would be like. And so you were able to share with us a little bit about what you do there. So that's really
Yeah,
nice.
We'd love to have you come back and get a little deeper into each of the two areas.
That would be really awesome. Great. And also just more about your coaching and, you know, how you help people. So
I would love that.
That would be really great. We just can't fit it all in one of our episodes.
Yeah. I know. It's so tough with guests. It's always tough with guests.
Yeah.
I would love it.
Well,
okay.
Thanks for coming. And we're just going to sign off with our listeners. And thanks for listening, everyone. And we're just going to say goodbye.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Lori. We really appreciate it. Bye-bye, everybody.